This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Stamford Chidge, David Chidgey. Dave, how are you?
Fried, mate. It's been quite a week.
Fried. Quite a week for Chelsea.
Yeah,
too,
it has, actually. Good game on Wednesday. I wasn't going to go because I was busy at work, but, my inner child took over and I decided I needed a bit of me time. So I slept off early, went to the game. Really glad I did, actually. Caught up with a lot of mates, had a few beers. And Chelsea were all right, you know. Couple of fantastic goals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pleasing.
I enjoyed as well, after those two fantastic goals, did you see Ruben Loftus-Cheek giving it to Eden Hazard on Twitter?
Yes.
Which is very, very good. The photo of them shaping to shoot in the same way. With, yeah. I did it better, yeah. Eden. I like that.
I think his goal was better, actually.
It was better.
I've got to be honest. I mean, that's the end that I sit, so I had a really good view of that. I mean, the whole place just went absolutely mental when that goal went in. It was lovely to see. It's kind of, in a sense, we needed that. We needed to get back to the football and, you know, enjoying it. And I think, you know, Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi starting certainly helped with the atmosphere. You know, we're all very happy to see that happen. So there you go.
Yeah, and it's not just that it was a good win, 3 points. You also got that clean sheet, which was very, very important.
Yeah. Who doesn't like clean sheets, Johnny? You know, I mean, let's be honest.
I'm trying to think of some sort of awful joke, but I think they're all entirely inappropriate.
I stitched you up
for
totally
Ofcom.
With it, exactly. I know. No, I mean, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is Brighton, who are pretty poor anyway in terms of their form, but have probably had one eye on the FA Cup semi-final this weekend as well. Mm. I'm not surprised that they didn't really muster anything of significance. I think they might have had a couple of shots on goal, that was it. So, you know, they weren't the best opposition, but, you know, a win is a win, and it was pretty comfortable. We scored some great goals. It was really good to be back. I've missed it.
Excellent. And it was, of course, a good week for Chelsea Fancast personally as
well. Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, the Football Blogging Awards, which we talked about a while ago on here, released their finalists for each category. Obviously, we went for the best podcast category, which I'm delighted to say we won in 2012 and 2015. So we're going for the hat trick this year. But it's getting tougher and tougher each year. More people are doing this kind of thing. You know, some people have got ridiculously huge followings on social media. Probably because they're young, unlike us.
Old Chidge,
well, no,
stop it.
They understand it, you know. I kind of...
You understand it? How many followers have you got? You've got millions of followers.
I've got quite a lot, but I mean, some of these accounts have got ridiculous amounts. But anyway, so it's going to be tough competition, but we've made the final, which I'm chuffed about. So I shall be going to the awards due, would you believe, in the Etihad Stadium on the 9th of May. So, you know, it might be the only thing Chelsea win at the Etihad this year.
It might also be the busiest the Etihad gets all year.
But it's great. But if I may, I'll just quickly plug how people can vote. It's very, very easy. Easiest thing to do is to go on Twitter. You'll see pinned to our Chelsea Fancast stream, you'll see a tweet saying, click this link. And that's the easiest thing to do. Otherwise, just put I am voting for @Chelsea in the the FBAS for hashtag best podcast, or go to Instagram and head to the Football Blogging Awards Instagram page and click on the relevant best podcast image and tag our Instagram account, which is at Chelsea Fancast, in the comments. And you can also vote on the FBA's website, which is footballbloggingawards.co.uk. And if you visit chelseafancast.com, it's easy. If you kind of, on the homepage, halfway down the homepage, there's a little kind of box that says vote for me in the best podcast category. You press that and it's automatic. I think you might have to give them your email address, but other than that,
vote just for you.
No, it's not for me, but that's how it's phrased in the box.
I'm just setting you up, so you'll just carry on explaining it again.
I know. Well, there you go. So go to the homepage, halfway down the page, banner, click on it, vote. Easy.
You can hear a voice there. We've got reinforcement in the form of the wonderful Mr. Jonathan Kidd. Oh, how are you, Jonathan?
He slunk in.
Described as the wonderful. Yeah, I have slunk, a lot of slunkery. Incident at Stratford caused the central line to stop. Dead.
To stop.
Stop dead.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
I had to explain. I said that was a Reggie Perrin moment. He didn't know who Reggie Perrin was.
Oh, the youth.
Yes, I know. 10 minutes late. 10 minutes late. Signal failure at Worcester Park. Joan. It was Joan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, CJ.
Yeah.
Fantastic programme.
Yeah.
He was go and watch it on YouTube.
He
You'll
was wonderful, old
Leonard Rossiter. Yeah.
Wonderful ability to spit out lines.
I know.
Very
clever
miles
man.
An hour.
We've already divulged, or diverged even, into completely non-football.
We've divulged.
Yeah, we've done quite a bit.
I'm glad you're here. We've done the Football Blogging Awards, but there's an issue which I know has really got your dander up, Mr. Kidd.
It is. It's up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very. He's one of the coolest customers on social media, actually, Johnny. He's very, very mellow. But this has really wound him up. It's about Roman Abramovich apparently not able to afford his hospitality.
Yeah. It's just complete and utter boxes.
It's not the truth.
Fake news.
You thought the Telegraph would have had better kinds of journalists, but clearly not. Not only does he not have, he doesn't just have the one box. I mean, it struck me as being peculiar. As if you owned the stadium, why would you be paying £1 million a year for a box that was yours, unless there was some strange accountancy detail that I'm missing, because occasionally they can have budgets that you have to pay
it's
for.
It's one way of giving the club money without having to declare
indeed,
it, isn't
it? Indeed. Yeah. But the reality is he owns six boxes. Six of them.
I'm really confused by this, Jonathan. You've got to explain this to me, because very naively I look at this and I go, Roman Abramovich owns Chelsea.
So
does
he
not
own
all the boxes?
Indeed. Yeah. This is my point.
Business,
but there may
anything.
Be an accountancy detail, because they create budgets, as you say, Chidge. There might be a tax.
Yeah.
It might be something to do with financial fair play or
something.
Well,
it's probably a bit better than overinflating the sponsorship like certain clubs in the north do.
Indeed, apparently, absolutely.
But, allegedly.
But the reality is that, because I inquired of an employee of the club because of this very reason.
You spoke to Bruce then?
And funnily enough, a minion of Bruce.
Really?
A Bruce minion, yeah. And lower down the food chain. Yeah. And I said, what's this about? He said, I don't know what they're talking about. He said he has six boxes and they're all full.
Well, they weren't on Wednesday. None of the proper
boxes. But they're not full to the extent that your seats are full.
Right.
But there's a great deal of activity going on within them.
So people were getting, you know, having a nice drink and a bit
and
of food.
And a free meal and an everything. Yeah. That's the deal
with
the boxes.
But none of them watch the football, though.
No, but I don't. Is that necessary for them? That kind of you've been invited.
Well, a bit like
I've been up there a few times, and you. I'm sorry to admit this, but you actually. Occasionally, you think it's a bit cold, isn't it?
I'll just stay in here.
I'll just watch through the glass.
Have another cappuccino.
Indeed.
But
more than a prawn. They don't serve prawns. Bizarrely.
Yeah.
Within hospitality, there are no prawns.
The prawn sandwich brigade can't have their prawn sandwiches because
you get their giant king size prawns.
Oh, of course, tigers.
And they'd be lions at Chelsea. and they've got. They've got some kind of sauce on them, you know, which is very edible. In fact, you savour them. But the reality is that it doesn't make any. This I mentioned this guy, and he said that that's just a rubbish story. This is a Chelsea employee. You know?
So there's a suggestion as well that Abramovich might be losing interest because he's not been to a game since May.
We all know why. There's this visa issue. And Buck. That's just come out with an interview saying he speaks to him three times a day about everything, about player transfers,
club. No, we know what this is.
Yeah.
It's a very common thing in the modern world. You know, Roman is basically WFH. He's working from home. You know? We have telephones and email these days.
Is he working from home or working from Superyacht?
Well,
or both, I suppose.
Mikasa, Sukasa, you know.
Yeah, but also, he needn't ever go out. You wonder whether even when he was in England, if he ever bothered to go anywhere, because he probably had a technical environment in a basement somewhere.
Looked outside, thought it's a bit cold.
Yeah, it's a bit cold. He'd say that, exactly the same thing. I'm going to watch from behind this glass, and I'll make sure, and I'll watch the feed. He might have the TV feed stuck in his front room. He might could watch it from every angle.
He's probably got VR, hasn't he? So he can have it all spoilt for him by Willy-Ann's hair.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Yeah, yeah.
In his living room.
If he wanted to. He could see that angle. He probably could. Well, you don't know, but if you're a multi-billionaire, you can sort of practically do anything you want, you know. I mean,
it's rather scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Everything becomes virtual reality. He's probably seeing the whole of the game in three dimensions as a hologram.
Probably in here with us right now.
Yeah, he probably is.
They're fishing, basically, Johnny.
Yeah, it's a complete fishing story. It's
journalistic spin.
Yeah, completely.
Well, we've solved it. No more spin. The ball has stopped. You've cracked it.
But I felt I was intrigued by the fact that that Bruce Buck was
compelled to say something.
Exactly.
Maybe he was, or maybe it was just the right time and the right place, because they were doing that event, weren't they, about anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
So he would have been available to journalists. And, you know, Bruce is a fairly lugubrious guy. I quite like Bruce, actually. All my dealings with him have been pretty pleasant. He's a pretty straight shooter. And he's quite a respectful bloke, and if a journalist asks him a question that he feels he can answer, then he will. So,
to the journalist would have been straight up saying, has he lost interest? Is he selling the club? And he'll just go, no. But the similarly, bizarrely, the same source for me, my Chelsea source, source said to me...
Is he a saucier?
No.
Same source as the prawns?
Yes. Well, God, this is good. Now, that would be coronation, wouldn't it? And I don't think they put Heinz with tomato ketchup, do they? The Heinz salad cream, because that's what it is, isn't it? And then they don't do that. But he said, yeah, that he'd sell it for 3.5 billion.
Yeah, this we know.
Which we know, but there's nobody going to come in for 3.5 billion.
Not even a certain Mr. Jim Ratcliffe.
Well, I think he came in with 2.1, so I think
significantly
he's...
Significantly under.
Yeah. Yeah, and also they didn't want to anyway at the time. I just think the very fact that he pulled the plug on the ground meant everybody then just said, well, he's going to sell up, isn't he, immediately. Well, in actual fact, it's interesting to see the consequence of the Spurs, the media, what's the word one can use, festival of joy of Spurs' new ground might mean that perhaps he's been stirred into some kind of action. We don't know, do we?
Well, no, because, of course, he gives so many interviews to the press where he reveals his inner thoughts.
Inner thoughts, yeah.
Well, we don't know. One man who might is Dom
Fifield. He might know.
He's the London football correspondent for The Guardian. Dom. We're not worthy.
We're not.
But we will be talking to him in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You with me, Johnny Burrow, and Stamford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd of the Chelsea Fancast. And I'm delighted to say we're also joined on the line by Dom Fifield, the wonderful Dom Fifield, who is London football correspondent at The Guardian. Evening, Dom. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Good to see both Hudson-Odoi and Loftus-Cheek featuring for Chelsea.
It was, wasn't it? It'll be interesting to see whether they both play on Monday.
Positivity, Dom, is our key word today.
Thanks, Dom.
I'm off. It was. Look, it was great. It was a breath of fresh air. I mean, on the one hand, it was a completely simple PR exercise, which was guaranteed to win people over after the poison at Cardiff. On the other, I don't think Sarri selected them for that reason. He needed extra energy. A bit more aggression in midfield from Loftus-Cheek, and some invention and, you know, propulsion basically on the wings from Hudson-Odoi, and it just worked a treat. I thought Brighton were pretty average. Didn't really have very much ambition. Didn't really try to hurt Chelsea. But look, just watching Hudson-Odoi run at a fullback, it gives me the same buzz that it does watching Wilfred Zaha run at a fullback for my lot. He's a great, great player who could be really, really good if given a proper run of games. And hopefully we'll see him starting either Monday. I suspect probably he's more likely to start Monday than Thursday. And we'll probably see Loftus-Cheek starting the game in Prague rather than on Monday, given his ongoing back issues.
Is it not... We never seem to know. I mean, we all know that they've been managing his back condition, which I think is sciatica from what somebody told me. But anyway, which is nasty, and I feel for him. But they are trying to manage it quite well. But, you know, is there any kind of sense that I mean, is this an ongoing condition, Dom, or is this something that he can get over fairly quickly, as in, you know, within a year maybe?
Sarri's been quite optimistic in terms of the club medical staff finding a solution for it, but I get the impression that it's been going on since his youth.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at the moment, I'm sorry, there was a blunt admission today that he's just not got 90 minutes in him.
Yeah.
So he can't, if you look at it, actually, he does always come off in games.
Yeah.
He came...
Oh, we've lost. Have we lost Dom? We'll try and get Dom back.
He's still there. You're back. Sorry, Dom. Go on.
Yeah. So I can't see. I mean, I can't see him playing twice in 3 or 4 days. So he's more likely to get a rest this weekend, I would imagine, and then probably play Thursday. He might. He'll presumably be on the bench on Monday, just in case they need someone to come on. But look, it's an issue. But I just looking at Ruben and how big and strong he is. He looks like somebody that's his body's maybe grown a bit too quickly for him.
Yeah.
And there's been associated problems with that. He's had injuries throughout his career, and there's always been the back problems. I mean, he does yoga now. I know that's meant to make it slightly better, but it clearly isn't solved.
I thought he had a problem with his vertebrae, actually. It was a thing. That's what I was told.
Yoga will be good for that.
Yeah, very good.
Dom, one of the other things that was raised there, I'm going to conflate about three things, really, because I know they talked about, you know, the Spurs stadium being built and was it a disadvantage for Chelsea? But, of course, Sarri kind of answered that. And it's interesting. You know, in a sense, he's played into the supporters' hands on Wednesday by picking Hudson-Odoi and Loftus-Cheek. And I'm an old cynic, but do tell me if I am. But I thought the way he answered that was quite interesting, because that would have played into the supporters' hands by saying he loves the ground. You know, it's really close to the pitch. And he was quite positive about the atmosphere there and the fans. And, you know, when you consider, I mean, I read your piece after the Cardiff match, which was superb, and I think it absolutely, you know, got a real sense of how toxic it was in the away end, quite frankly. So do you think he's making an effort to appease the fans?
I don't think he's got it in him to do that, if I'm honest. I don't think he cares one way or the other how he's perceived. He certainly doesn't care how he's perceived by us as media.
Yeah.
Look, he'll want to keep the fans on side. He doesn't. He admitted he doesn't like hearing the chants that rain down on him at Cardiff against Manchester United as well. That does hurt him. But he's a bloke who's had a real job. He's been out there in the real world, and he's quite. I find it quite refreshing, actually, his attitude to it. It's, you know, he wants football to be fun. He'll do his best to make it fun. If people don't go along with that, then I imagine he'll move on. Look at his career. He's never stayed anywhere very long, has he?
Dom, it's the beauty of age, mate. I take it from one who knows. You just don't give a damn anymore. I'll tell you when you get to a certain
age. But he's so focused on his notes, isn't he, that he doesn't actually be paying attention to anything else. I have to say that
an image, I don't know if you saw David Twards's cartoon in the week in the Guardian. There's an image of Sarri peering into his notebook there while Neil Warnock goes up.
But he seemed bemused by Warnock having a go at him at the end of the game, because I think he was just going up for commiserations. You know, Warnock's wonderful. I love Warnock. I really do. I know Chidge doesn't. I love him because he's like a comedy character, isn't he? That business, we'll never see it again.
Looks like of a
man standing in the penalty area gazing in the centre circle. Yeah, gazing at the referees,
crying
saying
out
nothing.
Spaghetti Western music.
Oh, it was completely wonderful. It was wonderful. Just want to ask you a question, Dom. When Odoi and Loftus-Cheek play, I don't see any Cerismo at all, and they all just seem to run with the ball really well. And and you suddenly think, but what's happened to Cerismo? What's happened to the little triangles? And then somebody showed a thing on Twitter where there was in fact a wonderful little triangle being played, and somebody a centre from Azpilicueta. So you thought, oh well, it's there in bits. But surely the whole idea of individuals running with the ball and taking people on is not what he likes. Because every time it seems to happen, he starts writing copious notes. I'm wondering whether he's writing, don't do this. What on earth are you doing? What on earth are you doing getting into the penalty area and having a shot and scoring? Oh, my God. How dare you? That goes against my plan. But no, because it was completely different on Wednesday, other than, of course, the odd fan who's absolutely against Jorginho, who will not accept the fact that he had a decent game on Wednesday. I thought he was back to his best, really. So...
He said that he picked Hudson-Odoi specifically with Brighton in mind, because he knew that they would sit deep and quite narrow, yeah, and in midfield, so he would be able to isolate a fullback, and that's exactly what he did. In fact, he isolated everybody that played on the left, whether that was Bong, Knockhart or March. He made a fool of all of them. So there was a specific tactic involved in that.
Right,
and look,
right,
to be honest, a lot of teams will come to Stamford Bridge and do exactly that. So there's reason enough to pick him on that basis alone. I don't see anything at the moment that resembles what he would like Sarri Ball
to be. Yeah, yeah.
I just look, and maybe that's as close as we'll ever get to him being pragmatic and conceding that he doesn't have the players to do it, and therefore he has to find another way of playing. But I think at the moment he's looking at individual duels out on the pitch and seeing who could hurt who, and if he can play Hudson-Odoi and to hurt a fullback, and he can play Loftus-Cheek to add more energy to midfield. And look, when he runs at people, they bounce off him. And
yes,
there've been a couple of the times with Chelsea where that's happened, and it's brilliant.
I think possibly illegally. I think he has one move that you think he's just shoved his buttock into the bloke's side, but he's got away with it.
No, he's so strong though. He's just a man mouth.
I thought buttock to shoulder was always allowed. As long as there's a shoulder involved, it's all right, Dom.
What are you doing your private life, mate?
No, that's Saturday night, not Friday, Dom. On Fridays, I'm working. It's been lovely talking to you, Dom Fifield.
Cheers, Dom.
Thank you, Dom.
Wonderful,
fantastic,
as
always.
Ever, London football correspondent from The Guardian. Now, if you are a long-time listener of the Chelsea Fan Show, as you all should be because it is the best thing on radio, you will know that a couple of weeks ago we had a certain Mr. Kerry Dixon join us in the studio. And I'm delighted to say that you have an opportunity not only to hear his dulcet tones, but to win a signed Chelsea shirt from 1984, signed by Kerry. All you've got to do is go to Love Sport Radio on Twitter, at Love Sport Radio. The competition is there as the pinned tweet at the top of the profile. Just retweet that tweet. Make sure you followed at Love Sport Radio, and that shirt could be yours. Coming up, we'll talk Brighton.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And as ever, we want to hear from you. That number to get in touch is 0208 7020 558. If you want to talk Abramovich, if you want to talk Sarri, Hudson-Odoi, whatever is getting your goat, it's 0208 7020 558 or at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. But first of all, horses. And I've got a little trick to play on
horses.
My dear friends Jonathan Kidd and Stamford Chidge from the Chelsea Fancast, because we've got a Love Sport sweepstake. It's coming up.
Know?
The Grand National is coming up, and we have all selected a horse for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Which
you know
is...
what they say, though, Johnny, don't you?
What do they say?
Well, when the fun stops, stop.
Yeah, no, we're not doing it for money. It's just a laugh, but I'm afraid...
Oh, I wasn't talking about betting, actually.
Yeah, we're back to my Saturday night very,
so I
very
said to
quickly.
To my wife the other night. Yeah. Apart from that.
You have
too
to draw
much
one.
Information.
I drew, you'll be delighted to hear. This just shows that it isn't rigged. I got Just a Par, who is decidedly below par, 80-1, was described as having not run a race in 2 years and being past his best, which is effectively the same description of our programme controller, who is attempting the marathon in the summer. And just to prove that it might be fixed, Steve himself has currently got a horse who is 12-1. He drew Annabelle Fly. But across the shows, we've got some wonderful stuff. Patrick Christie's, who's now presenting Drive with Richard Lee, got Ballyoptic, 33-1. Various other people in the mix there. Not least Comedy Breakfast presenter Ian Stone got Jury Duty, 18-1. And it is now your brave opportunities, gentlemen, to draw a horse.
Pick a number, any number.
Pick a number,
pick a card,
any number.
Pick a card, any card. This is the National, is it?
This is the National.
It's like there are no hot ones in there. They're supposed to be hot balls, mate. That's how you rig draws.
No, only cold
balls. I've got a fetlock by the looks of it. Is that a fetlock, Jonathan?
Ooh, yes, you have. You've got
a black fetlock.
Bit of a horse.
Rather attractive, actually.
Yeah.
Better shape than my knees.
Let's have some names, odds.
Mine says a great sporting achievement. Oh, it's the back. It's the
oh, dear.
Sorry.
I don't know. This sounds quite sinister.
Who have you got?
I've got Up for Review.
Up for review. We're on VAR.
Yeah, maybe. 40-1. Danny Mullins, the jockey. Trainer Willie Mullins. So he's a good trainer, Willie
That was
Mullins.
The worst bit about my horse.
Can I read what it says here?
Yeah, yeah.
If I can read that writing that's that small. Has always looked the type to pick up a nice race. Was travelling well at Cheltenham until a big blunder cost him any chance. That has to be a worry here.
Ominous.
So he'll fall at the first then.
Mine doesn't even have a jockey. It's
no?
Jockey TBC. My horse
really?
Is that bad. God. Jonathan.
TBC. Call yourself that. It's a horse called Joe Farrell. And the jockey is A. Wedge. And I don't know if that's criticism of the jockey. But the tailor is R. Curtis, the trainer. And last year's Scots Grand National winner. He has had an interrupted campaign after an early setback, but was much improved on his belated reappearance. And he's 14 to 1.
14 with an N. Wow, Jonathan Kidd is in the mix.
I think he seems like a dark horse to me.
A dark horse? I've heard he's actually more dappled.
Oh, what is he? He's got kind of quarters for colours.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Well, for an update on our sweepstake, you'll have to join Richard Lee on our weekend breakfast tomorrow morning. He's drawn Ultra Gold, who's 50 to 1. So, not the best for Richard Lee. Jonathan Kidd actually has the second most highly tipped horse so far drawn. So, he's very much in the mix.
Mine's basically one step away from the glue factory, by the looks of it.
mine, I think, owns the glue factory.
There could be another Fainarvan. Remember the one that
won? Do you remember what?
Everybody fell over.
Do you remember the Gold Cup? Well, you won't, because it was like years ago. I'm talking 30 years ago. Norton's Coin won it, 100 to 1, right?
Yeah.
One of the biggest outsiders ever won a big, big race.
Yeah.
I had a dream that this weird horse that I'd never heard of called Norton's Coin was going to win the Gold Cup. And I was convinced this horse was going to win. Anyway, I went out the night before, got absolutely hammered.
Forgot all about it.
Yeah, didn't put a bet on. I was going to put a tenner on it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What could have been?
What a horrible story.
I am the walking embodiment of that Hamlet advert.
A horrible... Yeah, that should have been, yeah. I did one of those, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, I voiced one.
Why am I not surprised?
I voiced one with the fluorescent condoms.
Okay.
Do you remember that
one?
As
you do, yeah. Not really.
You know you don't. No.
Fluorescent condom actually could be a name of a horse running in the Grand
National. Very handy, too,
I'd like it to
see
be.
See in the dark.
Indeed,
you know,
exactly.
That's what you need,
well,
isn't
you never, it? You've lost all sensation in it. You might as well have a look at it.
Well, indeed. I think we should move on, Jonathan.
I'm just scarred. I mean, there are sentences one expects to hear when you're going
that.
On the radio to talk about Chelsea. Not really that. Which actually makes what I've got written on my running order rather more ominous. Because
there we go.
Happy days are here again. Are they?
What does he mean? Well, no, because I was thinking of Wednesday. I was telling Johnny this before you turned up, but I really enjoyed it, actually. And I, for one reason or another, I mean, it's really ironic, actually, in this year when so many people are not going. And I mean, I actually looked on the ticket exchange before I came today. There's 750 tickets going for the West Ham match and about 1,400 for the Burnley. I mean, I know they've been moved to Monday and I know that it's Easter Monday. But we know that there's also a real sense of apathy at the moment. I've missed more games this season home. I haven't even done an away this season. I usually get a few in.
Yeah, but that's because of your work.
Exactly. I've been busy. So I was I wasn't going to go on Wednesday, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just woke up on Wednesday morning and I thought, no, I'm going to go to the football tonight. So I bunked out of work early, basically, and drove up. Saw the lads in the Cock pub and had a lovely time, a few pints.
I let Yannick down. I said I'd be there.
No, but you've got stuff to do, so don't worry. I saw Yannick. He bought me a pint. Really nice to see him. Had a lovely chat. The game was great fun. We won, so that's lovely. But two superb goals from Eden Hazard and Loftus-Cheek's goal.
I thought the first goal was great.
Well, it was actually, to be fair.
Because you just suddenly the ball was in the net. You thought, what's happened there?
It was Giroud, wasn't it, from that Hudson-Odoi cross.
That was a typical Giroud goal, actually.
And a typical Hudson-Odoi cross, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really good at getting that ball. See, the trick is, he gets the ball in quickly.
Yes.
That's always been the key to a good cross, you know.
Yes. Well, suddenly you've finally got a winger there who gets the ball in, as opposed to rely on Azpilicueta or Pedro's never in that position.
Or just wait half an hour while William and Pedro have to pass it to each
but
other,
he's almost a very old-fashioned winger.
He is, I think,
Odoi,
he is.
Isn't he? And
direct.
He gets those looping centres that go to the far post, and they're always fading away from the goalkeeper slightly. And it's taking the guy on. You suddenly think, well this
That's
is
like Dom was saying that.
Matthews,
it's what we like to see.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not football is a very simple game, Johnny. Why do some managers who eaten a book on tactics have to try and complicate it? Well, if he eats fags, he might as well eat books on tactics.
Well, I just
better for him.
Talk about his what Dom was
it's kind
saying.
Kind of his equivalent of vape, isn't it? Really?
That's what Dominic was saying. The to an extent, there it's. In fact, it's what I was saying. When I talk about him saying it.
You don't know what you're saying.
No,
really,
I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, who am I? Where am I? What am I doing? Why am I wearing these trousers? It's ridiculous that suddenly
they're running with the ball and they're not doing what he wants. That's what Dom said. It wasn't Cerezo at all. But there are little pockets of it. And I have to say, it was difficult to make an assessment of it because it was like watching Brighton reserves and they were so keeping themselves back for the semi-final. I felt, in fact, after the goal, we suddenly got great energy, yeah, which we hadn't had before.
I don't think they were... I mean, look, it's really hard, isn't it? Because I feel really split between, you know, saying, yeah, it was great, it was fantastic, but, you know, we spent so many weeks... I mean, Dom's article that we were talking about a minute ago was heavy with kind of papering over the cracks.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that that's the case. And, you know, if one was to be even-handed, one would say, well, Brighton were really poor, had half an eye on the FA Cup semi-final this weekend, never really came to threaten Chelsea, yeah. You know. So it wasn't the hardest test for Chelsea. But, hey, the roof nearly came off when Loftus-Cheek scored goal. But that's what it's all about.
No, but also the whole rhythm of the game changed after the Giroud goal.
Because
the ball started being passed more quickly.
Yeah.
This has always been my thing. It doesn't really matter what scheme
and
tactic you've got.
Teams are hard to break down.
If you go up a notch, if you think, actually, this game is really important for us, we must
push it.
Yeah, but,
Jonathan, it's also, look, you know, even Brighton are not mugs. So
No, they're stopping you from playing. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
They're going to be really well organised and set up tactically. Yeah. You know, football can be a bit like a chess match at times. How are we going to break them down? How can we tease them out? How can we find a gap? So, you can't just go completely 100 miles an hour gung-ho at teams anymore. The game has moved on in that respect.
No, but if you watch Atletico or Juventus, even though they've done in the Champions League recently, the ball is passed at a very different pace. Whether that's because for that particular period they want to shock the opposition, they want to stop the opposition from playing. So perhaps you do it in bursts. Liverpool pass the ball very quickly in bursts, but then sit back and say, right, we've done that for 20 minutes. Yeah. So, you know, it's almost as if that you flood them, you do your high energy thing, you score, you know, and you've won. You've taken the sting out of the game or taken the sting out of the opposition.
Indeed.
High energy is the order of the day on the pitch for Chelsea. It's the order of the day for us here in the studio. And just a reminder that we are giving you the chance to win a signed Kerry Dixon shirt. All you've got to do is go to @LoveSportRadio. It's there as the pinned tweet. Retweet that competition. Follow @LoveSportRadio and it could be yours. A lovely Chelsea signed Legends shirt.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the Chelsea Fancast. And as is traditional, we have a quiz, Mr. Chidge.
Well, we do. And of course, I completely forgot because you very kindly allowed me to blather on about winning the FBA, you know, the Football Blogging Awards, if we can, and all of that. And I clean forgot, which is very naughty of me because, yes, we have the same quiz every week. It's the same question, slightly modified, depending on who we're playing. So this week, it is... which players played for both Chelsea and West Ham? And I found earlier on today loads, actually. I think I found something like 35. It's quite important I get the right number, really, isn't it? So I shall have a quick look. But I'm sure, 36, in fact.
Wow.
So 36 players spanning lots of different generations of support. So
Carlton Cole.
Yeah, that's a start for 10. The other one, if Mark's listening, no, Dave Besson isn't in that list.
Dave Besson's played for everyone.
No, he's normally in it. He's almost like a banker. Your start for 10 is
Dave
Besson.
He's a lovely guy as well.
He's a lovely guy.
Comes on the station.
Yeah,
lot.
So 36 players have played for both Chelsea and West Ham. So.
Amazing. Remember, you can get in touch with your answers. That number is 0208 7020 558 or @LoveSportRadio on Twitter. And talking, of course,
and
into the
Chelsea
show.
Fancast.
And at Chelsea Fancast. I do apologise.
Peter Braybrook.
That's two. 34 to go, Jonathan.
34 to go. Maybe our caller on the line will be able to offer a couple. Rookie is calling all the way from Canada. Hi, Rookie. Thanks ever so much for your call. What would you like to talk about?
Basically, I'm just saying that you guys have actually a great show. I wish you guys could do it every day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Possible.
Thank you. Really,
it's very kind
of you. Thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, I listen to the podcast every now and then. And the thing about being a Chelsea fan is, I'm just going to tell you guys my story.
Please do.
So, as a kid, I used to support Barcelona and I watch them play every time and stuff.
Oh.
So when I started,
We forgive you, Rudy. We forgive you.
Yeah. So when I started watching Chelsea and Drogba and Michael Essien, because I was like, I have an African background and I like the way they play and it's like how I played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I fell in love with Chelsea and it's like from 2006 on, it's like my life. I get up every morning to watch Chelsea game every day as much as I can. But this season, it's like I just don't. It felt like I just don't care about it anymore because the coach.
Yeah, I know.
He's just making life like really like he's just making watching Chelsea really bad, like terrible bad. Then I actually have a question for you guys.
Yeah, fire away, mate.
Yeah, you felt like if Maurizio Sarri won the Europa League and the finished top four, I think the club might want to keep him, but I don't think it's a good idea. What do you guys think?
Well, I'll answer first. Jonathan might answer differently. I'm inclined to agree with you, but I think, you know, either something's going to work or it's not. And I think, you know, whereas beforehand, it's always been about winning trophies since Roman Abramovich has been here. I think if we are going to get a transfer ban, which looks likely, and we are in desperate need of a bit of a reboot, really, a bit of a factory reset, then I think that becomes less important. And what you need is the right man to rebuild the club and the right man to manage us through a period where we can't buy new players. And fundamentally, that's why I think Sarri's not the right man for that. So even if he does get top four and wins the Europa Cup, I would still get rid, because I just don't really believe that he is the right man to take the club forward. And largely that's because I think to make his kind of football work in the Premier League, he needs to spend big and buy the right kind of players like Guardiola did at City. So that's my answer.
And I've over the last few weeks, after the dreadful performance at Cardiff in particular, I put forward that idea and in fact said possibly that Lampard and Morris, although ages before their time, might be the correct combination just because of the youth of getting, because Morris knows so much about all the youth players. But I'm seeing possible signs with Odoi and Loftus-Cheek being picked that he may in fact be slightly more, slightly less obstinate than we think he is, Sarri. And he actually made a remark this week about trying to get as many youth in, because he mentioned the possible transfer ban. So, and there were aspects of the performance against Brighton that I thought seemed to be a big compromise on his theories, which was because normally he wouldn't have had Odoi and Loftus-Cheek playing, obviously, because neither of them play within the defensive pattern or play the triangles. But it just seemed to be you could see the small aspects of Sarismo being played, of Sarri ball being played. Just earlier on in the first two thirds of the pitch, rather than the final third. And the final third, we suddenly had this much more dynamic involvement. Now, whether that actually has anything to do with the way he wants to play, I don't know. But nonetheless, it had great results, and he picked a side that actually looked far superior. I mean, of course, he may suddenly not pick any of them for the West Ham game, and we may play as tediously as we have in the past. But if he's willing to compromise, I actually think his theories are top-notch, as has been stated by so many people about what he did for Napoli. I mean, his whole process of Napoli has been torn apart by various people I've spoken to, and they said, well, it's an easy league and he didn't do much for them. In actual fact, he's a very well-respected coach all over Europe. And I think he's struggling to get them, as we've said, to interpret what he wants. But if he can incorporate some of the youth in the summer, and the club decide they're going to keep going with him because, in essence, they think he's doing well. As we've said, if he gets fourth place, and wins the Europa League, it's been a really successful season. It's then up to them to make a decision on. It won't be about what the supporters think. It won't be about that. It'll be whether they think he is the man to drive the club forward. And I think we might end up with all those things you've suggested, except with him in charge. I think they might win the Europa League, they might finish fourth, and we'll have him again for the summer. And I think there is the possibility. I'm not as down at him after that performance as I was the week before, that he could see us into a relatively successful era. But if he incorporates all the youth players, because I think he'll be forced to. But it may need a major sea change with him. He just have to say, all right, I'm going to compromise. And the fact that he's beginning to compromise in certain matches, I think, well, it may be a combination of the two. You may see Cerismo in certain parts of the pitch and then people running with the ball. It's also dependent in the summer whether Hazard stays, when we're getting such mixed messages about that. And I think now Zidane is making a move on him from Madrid. He's actually said he's interested in buying him. He's come out and said it. Well, it's looking less and less likely that he'll stay. But I personally think the future's rosy, actually. I'm not as down on him as I'd like him to
Jonathan's
succeed.
Jonathan's been drinking the Kool-Aid, Ricky.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I have been at the Kool-Aid, yeah. But last week I was out on him to go. This week I'm less inclined.
We kind of pulled you into our camp.
You did.
You've made a break for freedom again.
Yes, huh? Brother, somebody said to me when I said, let's get rid of him. But it was dreadful, Cardiff. But it wasn't dreadful this week.
No, it wasn't. But Brighton quite possibly were.
Yeah.
So there you go, Ricky. I hope that answers it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Everett.
The thing I just have about Lampard is just that, Lampard, I just don't want him to come back and, like, go back, like, get fired after a couple of years.
Yeah, that's always the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, for him to just be the, like, best and, like, never have to worry about that. And I know Lampard also played for West Ham. Joe Cole did. So Doug Benayoun.
Yeah, you've got and those two, right? If that's the quiz answer, you've just got two.
You're smashing it, Rudy.
Only 34 to go, Rudy.
Benayoun play.
Doing very well. Ricky, thanks ever so much.
Thanks so much for ringing. Call. Really terrific. Way, thank you.
Excellent.
Terrific.
All the way from Canada. Yeah. And coming up on the Love Sport Radio Chelsea Fan Show, is Loftus-Cheek coming of age?
This is Love Sport.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Stamford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd of the Chelsea Fancast. And did we witness the birth, or rather maturity, of a potential Chelsea stalwart against Brighton?
Well, I mean, I was just talking about it, weren't we, in the break, but I was really impressed with Loftus-Cheek on Wednesday. And I mean, okay, yes, I know it was only Brighton and all of that, but what I was really impressed with was the way that he, in the second half particularly, He just stamped his authority and, dare I say, class on the game. He really took the game by the scruff of the neck, I thought. And he looked in flashes like that player that we've always hoped we'd see. And, I mean, Jonathan and I will tell you, we watched Loftus-Cheek when he was a youth player. And he always looked, you know, that when you play soccer or football even with kids or at kids' level, there's always like a bigger kid, isn't there? Who you can't get the ball off, and he just makes the others look like really rubbish and weak, and he looks fantastic. Well, that's what Loftus-Cheek would always look like. Remember, he scored that goal. He ran from inside our half all the way up the other end of the pitch and scored. You know, that's what he used to. He dominated
youth games,
all the levels that he played at.
He did, absolutely.
And he's looked lost and out of his depth for a lot of his senior Chelsea
that
career.
Terrible game he could have got in Villa, Mourinho kept him on for only one half.
But I thought against Brighton on Wednesday, he looked like that player. He just suddenly, something happened to him, like a switch flicking, and he just rose in stature. And I thought he took the game with a scruff on that, and he looked better than everybody else, frankly. And that's what I want to see. And I tell you what, if he can keep injury free and he gets a run in this side, I think he could be an absolute Chelsea great. He really could be.
That's the if, though, isn't it?
Well, it's
run
a big
in
if,
the size.
But also, I wouldn't use the word stalwart that you used. I think stalwarts are people like Johnny Bumstead. They're people like who keep going and they're there. Oh, he's
like
a stalwart.
Mark Noble.
Yeah, he's a stalwart. Actually, I think Noble's a bit better player than a stalwart.
But isn't that exactly what Loftus-Cheek has been so far?
No,
in the sense
he hasn't played enough games, but he's been there in the background.
Yeah,
so
well,
he's
no,
been
that's
a,
different,
he's been a possible. A stalwart is somebody who's a
stalwart is a 6 out of 10 player. He's going to give you 6 out of 10 every week. He's never going to be 4 or 2. He's never going to be 8 or 9, but he'll always be 6 out of 10. And you need some players like that in a team. Paulo Ferreira. I mean, Mourinho used to say that. He said he's my 7 out of 10 player.
Yeah.
You know, you do need players like that. But, you know, you can't say that of Loftus-Cheek. He just hasn't had the chances. He doesn't get the game time.
But in terms of getting the game time, then, we've seen that Sarri has been quite dogmatic in terms of who he picks. This performance, as you say, was very good. But do you think it's going to be enough for him to get that run?
Who knows? I mean, we only get what we get from the interviews that Sarri does. And let's be honest, he's not speaking in his first language. And I think he's very honest in a way, but I think he's open to misinterpretation. On the other hand, if you just look at what he says, then maybe take it at face value. He was effusive of his praise of Loftus-Cheek in the press conference today. He said he called him the complete player. And I think he is the complete player. I mean, if you look at, you know, he's a big guy. He's really strong. He can move about. He can beat players. He's got amazing technical ability with both feet. He rolls players. He can shoot. He can head the ball.
That was a great goal.
You know, as a midfielder, he is the complete, you know, modern day footballer, right?
What I loved was when he scored the goal and it was played back on the screen from four angles.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the ooze from the crowd. Yeah, every time it went in, they went, oh. And then when he finally saw, he'd actually got it right in the top right-hand corner. There was a, oh, from everybody.
The technique was absolutely excellent. I remember years ago, I made a program for Sky and I interviewed, would you believe, Jermaine Genus about a goal he scored for Newcastle. And it was all about technique. And we had some stupid song that was going on about technique. And I just couldn't resist asking him. So tell me about the technique. I basically took the mick out of him. He's a smart lad. He knew. It was quite funny. But that was all about the technique, that shot. It was just beautiful. He has got such skill. He's a very modern footballer. And we're always told all the time that a lot of the players that have been coming through the academy, Johnny, are all two-footed. They have incredible technical ability. They're very adaptable. They can play any system. And they've all been, you know, coached and developed that way. A bit, you know, like the Ajax kind of way, in a sense, because that's what Ajax used to turf out. And it would be a great shame if we lost most of them because we were stuck rigidly to one system.
Can I quote what Sarri said today? He was asked whether a transfer ban was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And he said...
not for him.
No, because I'm very confident in my players.
Cruel. It's like he was in the room.
Yeah, but I know.
The war is over.
Yeah, yes, exactly. No, because I'm very confident in my players. We have a lot of young players who are really good and improving. If they're able to improve, we'll probably be a better team in the future. Yeah. That's what he said.
That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Yeah. So, if my players get better,
better. No, I know. At least he mentioned it. I think what he meant by that was, is there are an abundant number? There are. God, I can't do that voice. Not allowed to anyway. There are an abundant number of people coming in who. I don't think people have been blowing smoke up their backsides. Mm. I think they are actually decent players.
Yeah.
As you say, if the coaching has been sufficient, they should all get into the first team. Mm. And more you just think, all right, if the standard of coaching and the screening of players that they have, every single one of these players, not just be squad players, should end up a star, in which case you don't need to buy these expensive players from around the world. And you may end up with... the thing to do is, as Joe talked about, is to buy, is have enough money by making the youth squad players.
You can then buy
a world class player for one position.
I mean, Joe and I wrote basically the same article, apart from mine was a lot shorter.
Yeah, it would be.
Joe writes like War and Peace when he gets his stuff published, but it was the same point, which is ideally you want a balance, and I think where we are as a club now, given that we're not going to compete with the likes of City and United and Real Madrid for huge Galactico type signings. But what you do, we can still spend $200-300 million, you know, fairly regularly. We're not completely broke. So what you do is you use a mix of some of the experienced established players that you've got who are not too over the hill, who are good enough, who can do the 6 out of 10s, if you like. Plus you've got the best of the best of the youth. You don't have to fill the whole team with 11 youth players. Have 4 of the best.
Yeah.
You know, give them the opportunity, and then you fill the possessions that you absolutely need to strengthen with the best players you can buy.
Yeah.
So for us at the moment, that's absolutely a striker, for example.
Yeah.
You know, so you fill up the key positions where you're lacking with your bordering on world-class or world-class talent, and that's what you spend your money on. So it's all doable. If only we had a board who could get that, it'd be fantastic.
Or even a director of football. Yeah. There's an article in The Guardian about having... how important a director of football was this morning.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that's going to continue in football? I mean, we've seen it on the continent for quite a long time, but a bit like a 5-at-the-back formation, it seems to just now be in vogue, and everyone's doing it because a couple of people in English football started doing it.
Well, what Kerry Dixon was saying the other day, he said, what was wrong with 4-4-2? He was quite happy to play that, and he thought that was easily...
Me, Kerry, and Mike Bassett are all of one mind.
But do you think that the director of football model actually would do anything for recruitment?
Look, I used to hate the idea of it because I'm a bit old school, and I grew up with managers being complete, you know, what was it factotum? Isn't it? I think it is.
No. Factotum is somebody who'd be your assistant.
Okay, so I would be the factotum to you, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Okay, so no, but I mean, they used to be completely despotic.
That's the word, yeah.
Right, they used to rule the roost, didn't they? Like Clough and Ferguson, all of that.
Shankly.
Lot. Yeah. So I thought that's how it should be done. The manager should make all the decisions. But now I realise that's pointless in modern football. You don't have that longevity. Managers are there for maybe 3 years at the most. So where do you get your continuity in terms of developing your football club long term, in terms of the players that you're developing, in terms of the players that you're buying? You know, it's the director of football.
The argument this morning in the paper was to get somebody who had a knowledge of the tradition, culture and fan base of the players, to make it all so that somebody who knew how would explain this to new players coming in as well, but also make sure that the fans were being represented because they were seeped in the club. They were part of the club. Mm. And it seemed to make great sense to me because they were saying that Gary Neville should really be the Solskjaer, he should be the director of football.
He could be his factotum. Right?
He could be. I don't know. I know, probably be the other way around.
Yeah. Who knows? It's a difficult ideological question. Of course, Arsenal trying to appoint a new director of football. They're looking at Steve Morrow, apparently, just because he's already at the club. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cheech.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jinj?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Hello and welcome back to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the Chelsea Fancast. That's Stamford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd, and it's the Chelsea show. But Liverpool are underway away at Southampton in the Premier League, and we will be bringing you updates from that game throughout. So, it was another goal-scoring performance for a certain Mr. Olivier Giroud against Brighton. Jonathan, you pointed out that it was really the classic Giroud goal, a darting run in
six
at the yard
box.
Post.
Yeah, and a wonderful flick, just a kind of flick. Just put his foot to the ball, and it's in the net. We just went, oh, has he scored? Oh, it's gone in. Well, yeah, because it was like completely unexpected with the drive in, and it was a very typical Giroud goal. And actually, you think, well, he's so much more likely to score than the poor, unfortunate Gonzalo Higuain, who looks like a rather embarrassing part man in his 40s, stumbling around in a pair
he
of...
He plays like I would.
Of, hang on, I've got in his swimming trunks on a Lido.
Oh,
that's what he looks like at the moment. Slightly paunchy bloke. Yeah, yeah. And it with his hair falling out, and it's... He's looking
it's a shadow of his former self.
He's not the infernal. I keep saying this each week. He's not the infernal goal machine that Sarri played played with.
Well, he's gone to seed, mate.
He's gone to Yeah, there's a pun there somewhere, isn't there? No, there isn't. No, there isn't at all.
Yeah. He's past his sell-by date.
He's not good, let's put it that way. And I'd be quite pleased if the transfer ban means they can't extend his loan, because that really so far has not been good. Having said that, though, I think he just keeps saying he's not fit enough and hasn't been given enough game time. But he himself, didn't he, Higuain, said it's a bit more difficult here than playing Serie A.
Yeah, you know what, though? One thing one has to admire about Sarri is he's very, you know, he's very optimistic, isn't he? You know, he always believes, like, well, no, Higuain, he'll come good. He'll be all right in the end, you know.
But from Sarri's
point... No, he won't!
But he might be, mightn't he? I mean, one thing we apply to younger players, particularly when they move from abroad...
Okay, I can answer this very quickly, because he mentioned it in the presser. And what he did was he compared Higuain to Suarez. He said, well, when Suarez came to Liverpool, you know, he was rubbish for a year. And, of course, that's a very good argument. A lot of really great Premier League strikers have been rubbish in their first year. Here's the thing, Maurizio. Luis Suarez was about 23. Most of the strikers that you're talking about were in their early 20s. Higuain is over 30. But he 30... is not going to get better.
No, he's not going to get better, but he might adapt.
Or quicker.
No, or quicker, but he was never about pace. And might he adapt to a style of play?
Yeah, he might become more savvy.
Yeah. Or more Sarri, even.
Or more Sarri.
Hey, could he be more Sarri? I don't think he could.
But no, this he could is the if thing. He chewed a cigarette. And
okay,
the reason why Sarri has so much faith in him is because, of course, he's done it for Sarri before. He did it at Napoli.
That's just false, 38 false goals. Logic, mate. False logic.
But it is and it isn't, because I know he's a bit older, but 31 is
mate,
not
I'm
that
telling
old.
I'm telling you, as a psychotherapist, there's something wrong with that thinking. I really is.
Okay.
Expecting, just because something worked in a particular set of circumstances with a particular group of people once, why should that immediately transplant to a completely different situation with a completely different load of people?
The word immediately is not a word that's being used, but I think it makes sense that a manager who's got success out of a striker in the past might personally believe that it could work.
Yeah, and it might be interesting if he plays him with Odoi.
I think playing anybody with Odoi would help a striker. And I mean, this is the point that Ruud Gullit makes, you know, furiously every time he has any airtime. That you know, the problem at Chelsea is that we do not we waste strikers, because you've got the likes of Hazard, Willian, and Pedro, who aren't interested in strikers. They're interested in running around, whizzing around, and passing the ball to each other and creating their own chances and scoring. They're not bothered with strikers. Then they don't see their role there to supply a striker.
So should there not be a striker? Should it be Pedro,
no,
Willian, and Hazard?
Because what's the point of that? I mean, okay, I know you can sit here and go, yeah, but look at Liverpool. They've got three kind of non-traditional strikers. Yeah. But maybe I'm old. I mean, Kerry Dixon was my hero, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, but perhaps you're
just... Because he scored lots of goals and he was
just
a striker.
Chidge, perhaps you're just out of touch and you need
I don't care. I like how I am. Okay. I'm like Sarri. I'm very comfortable in my own skin and quite curmudgeonly.
You don't look tramp-like.
I've given up the fags. I'm on the vape.
And you want
now.
A fraud?
No.
Mind you, neither's he.
I can't afford to be a fraud.
I don't really... those adjectives applied to Sarri just really annoy me.
People... Yeah, but I've said this time and time again. I think a lot of the vitriol aimed at Sarri, which is quite hateful and personal, I actually don't think really ultimately it's about him. I think basically he is an easy target because he's visible, and I think he has become a scapegoat and a lightning rod for a huge amount of frustrations and annoyances.
As has Jorginho, who is almost his presence on the field.
Yeah, exactly. But it's basically a lot of frustrations and annoyances that supporters have had with the club and football for a long time. But, of course, with Chelsea, the annoying thing is, in a sense, is you can't really articulate how cross you are with the club, particularly when most of the decisions are made by Roman Abramovich. It's a bit like self-harm doing that.
Yes.
So you're not going to. So, oh, I know, let's stick it all on Sarri because he eats fags. You know, boom.
Does Roman really exist, do you think? Do you think perhaps that could have been an impersonator who came to the club?
I was Monty's double.
Yeah. Do you think he could actually he's just not...
Never heard him speak.
No. Perhaps he doesn't really... Yeah.
Do you know what?
He's a hologram.
Do you know what? I've met him. I've heard him speak.
Oh, you sure it was him, though?
No, well, he looked like him.
Well, you didn't hear him speak, though, did you?
And he was introduced to me as such. I mean, how could somebody introduce... hello, Chidge, this is Roman Abramovich. No, really? I've never known that. You know, something had dumb as that, but it happened.
Yeah, but you might have been, you know, phased and somehow not recognised him.
No, I knew who it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Even from a distance, I knew who it was.
Oh, God. Okay.
So there you go. So he does speak. He is real.
We've poo-pooed the suggestions that Mr. Abramovich could be leaving Chelsea, but the rumours that Eden Hazard could be on the way out are rather stronger.
Yeah.
Do we think that's going to be a done deal? And if so, is it now just a case about savouring a wonderful footballer while he's still playing
in
blue?
We have five home games before he's gone.
Yeah.
And he will go. Unless the club decide just to run his contract down, which in view of the transfer ban might be an option, just to work out whether it's worth keeping him for another season. You never know. That's the kind of business they might do. And the same way with Hudson-Odoi. They might do that with the hope to persuading him at the end of the year, if he gets enough first-team chances, to actually carry on playing for the club. I think that's... distinct possibility that nobody seems to have thought about is you just keep him at the club and then allow him to leave if that's going to help you.
Yeah, I mean, this is the trouble at the moment, isn't it, with Chelsea? You know, until we know one way or another what's happening with this transfer ban, it's hard to predict anything with any certainty because, you know, the reality is that the club ultimately have to agree with whoever is after any of our players to sell them. They can't just go. You know, there has to be an agreement.
Yeah.
So the worst case, well, best case scenario is that if the transfer ban does come in, like you said, they just say, well, we're not selling any of you.
Yeah.
And then they just decide to lose any resale
any
value on Hazard.
But it would solve the problem. It would just mean he was there for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You haven't then lost a world-class player.
And I wonder if that might happen. I'd be very happy if that happened because I did think about this, Johnny, on Wednesday. You know, I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed it on Wednesday. You know, absence has certainly made my heart grow fonder. Plus the fact I'm a bit perverse. So when everybody's really moaning and saying how horrible it is, I warm to it. The worse it gets, the more I like going for some reason. I'm stuck in the 70s and the 80s, man. That's the trouble. But anyway, I thought Hazard was really, really good on Wednesday. His goal was superb. And I did. I sat there and I thought, blimey, there are only four home matches left, not five. There are four home matches
left.
Left. This could be the last four matches I see Hazard play for Chelsea. That's awful in one way, but like we said earlier on, I think, you know, wake up, people, savour every minute because you might not see a player that good at Chelsea for a long time.
Well, I've been saying that about all the players. It's very easy just to, because you only see them for 90 minutes every week, possibly, or every two weeks.
Appreciate what you got.
Absolutely
you got it.
Appreciate it.
I mean, look how misty-eyed we get about some of the old players that we've seen.
Oh,
you know?
I wish I'd sat there looking at Hullett I don't know, just accepted the situation.
Mind you, he did kind of put a restriction zone on you for you know, giving him puppy dog eyes all those years ago.
Yeah, but I attempted to gain access to the pitch by wearing my Hullett costume.
That's true.
Yeah.
And your dreadlocks.
Yeah, that was it. That was part of it.
Don't think you get away with that anymore. Time to savour, of course, Eden Hazard. And we've had a massive goal in the Premier League.
Haven't we got the football
on? It was all Liverpool, 85% possession, 15 minutes in. But it's now Southampton 1, Liverpool 0.
Yes, get in there.
A simple flick on. Shane Long was there and he tucked it away in classic Shane Long style.
Is that the first goal he scored for 2 years?
Quite possibly.
Worth the wait, I say.
Yeah. Could an upset be on the cards?
I hope so.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the Chelsea Fancast, which is Stamford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd. And we've got a caller on the line. Yannick is getting in touch from Surrey. Yannick, what is it that you'd like to touch on? Is it Sarri? Is it Hudson-Odoi? Hazard? What?
Evening, gents.
Hello.
Or none of the above?
Well, I was just listening and I sort of just caught the beginning of Chidge comparing himself to Sarri, which I didn't quite get the context, but I appreciated it. I thought it was funny.
I'm now regretting that, Yannick, obviously.
I've recorded and sound... it's now a soundbite that I'm going to edit into stuff. just a quick one. I mean, I just heard you saying, Chidge, it was a really enjoyable game on Wednesday.
It was. Great to see you, by the way, Yannick. Thanks for the pint.
Yeah, and you, mate. Absolute pleasure. No, it was a great evening. I was just thinking, if this transfer ban does come in and we've got issues with Giroud, maybe signs an extra 12 months to be a third striker, and maybe we bring back Batshuayi or Abraham. Do you really think? Okay, so here's I just want to romanticise about this sort of
It's a dream sequence. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I need some dream sound effects going into the dream. But
is that perfect. What are your dreams like?
That's more of a nightmare. That's my nightmare sound. But yeah, so it was a really good feeling. But everyone was talking about Hudson-Odoi and Loftus-Cheek, understandably, and they did that post-match interview that was really good between them. But also I was thinking Christensen played, and he too obviously is an academy product, and I was thinking, oh, you know what, we had a really comprehensive, impressive win, you know, granted the opposition or whatever, but that was like three academy products on the pitch starting, and I thought, well, I know he doesn't suit the style maybe, but Tammy has been used to just banging in goals in the box. Imagine if he's so young still, and I was thinking, imagine if he can get better and come back next season and wriggle his way.
Yannick, I agree with you entirely, and I think this is a kind of a point we were making earlier on. I think that these youngsters, I mean, Hudson-Odoi is clearly just full of confidence. I mean, I know you are generally confident when you're 18, but you know, basically, these guys have been coached to win. They've been winning football tournaments, cups, trophies their entire young career.
Exactly.
These guys are full of confidence. Age is no barrier for them. They're not shrinking violets. They're not. I mean, Sarri said. I thought Sarri said some really interesting things in the presser today. And one of the things that he answered a question about, you know, how Callum Hudson-Odoi is being affected by the racism that he endured in Montenegro, and he said he's fine. He's a really strong character. He's a great character with a great personality. And I think a lot of these kids are like that. So I would bring Tammy Abraham back like a shot. Why not?
So would I.
Why not? You know, stick him in if he's good enough. We'll soon find out.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you touched on a couple of things there, Chidge. I spoke to Joe Tweedy on the podcast a little bit about this, about how Chelsea have lacked a little bit of Chelsea-ness, you know, sort of identity. And there's the camaraderie between these young lads. And, you know, they do have that fearlessness, and they're all mates, and they've come up through the ranks together. So they've come up and been sort of, they've had the Chelsea, I don't want to say Chelsea DNA, but they've had
the Chelsea way, Yannick, the Chelsea way.
The Chelsea way, they've had it fermented in them. They, you know, they grew up in the academy, they saw the players like Lampard and Ballack, and, you know, they've got that in their veins. They're not like talented Spanish mercenaries coming in to try and get a big pay. Do you know what I mean?
I do, so totally, mate. I agree with that. It's
but JK, would that sort of theory sway you to get a bit of the Chelsea-ness back in the 11?
He's just woken up. Be patient. He's getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I don't really know. I'm so old, Yannick, that I find everything that happens joyous.
Everything
that happens.
He lives
Chelsea.
Every minute like it might be his last.
Yeah,
it
I do.
Well
I do. Could well be.
It's not just Hazard you're savouring.
Yeah. I'm not. I just like everything. I just go, oh well, that's that. They haven't got that right, but you know, we've won 15 trophies in 15 years, and perhaps it's time for a change, and we'll get the youth in possibly this time, and yeah, it makes sense because we've got such a great youth set up, and they seem to be hitting and missing with it, but it doesn't fill me with the hatred. And on Wednesday, there was a bloke behind me who spent the whole of the game having a go at Jorginho. When we were 3-0 up, he went very quiet because, and also Jorginho got substituted.
Very good as well.
But yeah, he was good. He had a good game, yeah. And but he couldn't do anything right. And to me, to get into that state of mind about it is rather to appreciate what, to try and work out what the manager's trying to do. If it doesn't work, well, then you possibly change it. I enjoy the cycle of the way things come and go, and we've been very advantaged by having an owner so willing to make us competitive. And if we have a bit of a dip, I'm not having a problem with it. And I just think it is the right time for the successful members of the youth sides to come in and have a go. At I'm having a strange thing with my microphone here. You hearing me okay?
Yeah, we're
It's going I've forgotten what you asked me.
So Tammy Abraham, can he be one of those? Can he be? I know your knee joke reaction was to be like, oh, not Chelsea quality, but mate, you know.
Oh no, Abraham. I think, well, I think the dilemma is he wasn't very good at Swansea. He was good in the Championship. What was the previous club he played for? Bristol City. He was very good for them.
Yeah, he was
very good for them. He wasn't good at Swansea, and he's looking good at Villa. But you have just to remember Bamford, who's now looking better at Leeds. And whether it takes some of them longer, because I think Bamford will do well in the Premier League, because he, as I said the other day, he looks a bit like the way he plays, a bit like Kerry Dixon, but he seems to have matured a bit and flourished a bit, and he's getting into very good positions and they're feeding him and he's decent. Now, Abraham may score a lot of goals, but I'm not seeing anything different from Abraham, because I've watched him play for Villa a few times. He's similar to Batshuayi. They're both good. They're both good in the 6-yard box. They're both good, but they're not good enough, I think, for what is required to be top class.
Something similar about Ruben Loftus-Cheek a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, I did, and I think it's taken him this long. He wasn't making it. He wasn't doing it. But yeah, so well, perhaps. But then it might be 2 years' time. Bamford, it's taken Bamford this long. So it could be.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
You know, so let's see. But at the moment, for me, Abraham isn't the player. But you know, Harry Kane was dreadful wherever he went, and then became Harry Kane. MBE
wasn't dreadful everywhere. I've got Millwall coming up, and they say that they liked him. Fantastic. They were a big fan of Harry Kane. Maybe that's the beauty.
That's because he was one of them, though. Wasn't he?
Well,
Have you guys talked about the Bruce Buck comments at all?
We have. Listen to the podcast and you'll hear it at the beginning. Yes,
and also the ridiculous thing about the boxes and complaining in the Telegraph.
We've solved it, Yannick. Don't worry. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Well, I look forward to going back and listening to that.
Nice one.
Thanks for ringing in, Yannick.
Really excellent.
Thank you, mate. Lovely to talk to you. Sorry I didn't see you the other day. I'll see you soon.
Yannick there, getting in touch from Surrey. Coming up here on the Chelsea Fan Show, we'll look back on Cardiff.
This is Love Sport. This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Chelsea Fancast. And just a reminder that we're offering you the opportunity to win a Chelsea shirt signed by legendary Chelsea striker Kerry Dixon. All you've got to do is go to @LoveSportRadio on Twitter, retweet the pinned tweet there, and follow @LoveSportRadio, and that signed shirt could be yours. This is a show where we love to hear from you. You can get in touch on 0208 70 20 558. And I'm delighted to say we've got a caller on the line now. Daniel is getting in touch from Sweden. Evening, Daniel. Thanks for your call.
Good evening, guys. How are you tonight?
All right, mate. How are you? Nice to hear your dulcet tones.
Daniel, thank you for the badges. Fantastic, mate. Thank you so
much. Oh, great. They reached you. I'm really happy to hear that, JK.
Thank you. Gratitude. Thank you so much. Brilliant.
His little face was radiant when
I
handed it to
him. It was radiant now,
Chidge. He loves getting stuff like that. And thank you for mine too, Daniel. It's very kind of you. Anyway, what's your question?
Nice meeting you the other day.
Yeah, mate, I really enjoyed that. I loved that. I did a little interview with Daniel for the Chelsea Sweden podcast that he does. It was great fun. Anyway, what's your question for me and Jonathan?
Yes. I would like to say something in contrary to the bloke that called before. Not Yannick, the bloke before.
Rookie from Canada.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, jumping on the bandwagon, you know, to calling for Sarri's head. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like the bloke in particular. And I think that he's given us a lot of reasons to criticise him this season. But I don't think he's been that bad as many of you believe. Obviously, and that boils down to the fact that I think that a lot of fans has criticized us, the strategy Chelsea has had of sacking managers. And in my opinion, we've seen a lot of fans blaming the club for this strategy, you know, in terms of long-time strategy, in terms of implementing the youth. Basically, every single problem the club has had has been boiled down to us sacking managers.
I know.
But now we want another
manager.
Well,
yeah, but Daniel, do you know why that is? I mean, I'm sure I've written or spoken about this before, but it's quite bizarre, isn't it? But, you know, this is, I think, down to the influence that Roman has had by doing it. So, and you and I both know, Jonathan does too, that, you know, these aren't new fans or kids who are, like, losing, you know, spitting their dummy out and wanting the manager sacked. This is my generation going absolutely ballistic about it. And I think what's happened is...
Not everyone, though.
No, not everybody. You can't generalise. You're absolutely right, Daniel. But the reality is that I think that we have grown so accustomed to this is what our club does. So we now expect it. So it's almost like, you know, it's kind of like the witch hunts in the Middle Ages. You know, maybe we've all been eating too much old rye bread or something. I don't know.
I hope you're not advocating throwing Sarri in a river.
Other rye breads are available. preferably the ones that don't make you hallucinate.
Is that Sarri?
Sarri, very good. But you know what I mean, Daniel? I mean, in a sense, it becomes infectious and we all kind of get the madness together. And, you know, because this is not really what we're about. We're usually a very loyal, supportive bunch of supporters, and we don't get on the case of the managers that quickly unless we have a really good reason to hate them, like we did Benitez. But I also think, as I said earlier in the show, I think it's a conflation of a lot of other stuff going on, and I think that Sarri really has become the scapegoat for a lot of other stuff that we've been grumpy about for a long time with both Chelsea and football.
Yes, I believe you're spot on there.
Yeah, but we haven't noticed because we've been too busy winning trophies and getting drunk and enjoying it. That's what's happened.
But let us not forget that the bloke hasn't had a full pre-season. He had 2 weeks to work with the boys. And basically, I think that's a big factor in this, to at least embrace in some kind of way before we call for him to be sacked. Let him at least, you know, end the season on some positive notes. I believe that we will.
If we finish fourth and win the Europa League, he's sort of done his job, really, hasn't he? So, and it hasn't,
in my opinion, he has. Yes,
and it hasn't and therefore
that
been all dire.
Finished so far away from Manchester City last year, I believe he has. So least we can do is to evaluate his efforts in the end of the season.
I think the dilemma is there've been the difference is this season there've been five really execrable performances.
Absolutely,
Bournemouth,
agree with that.
Cardiff. Even though we beat Cardiff,
Man City,
Arsenal, and Spurs, and unfortunately, it is that has caused most people to hate him and call him a fraud. Whereas the fact that we got to the final of the League Cup has been completely forgotten. The fact that we started off the season really well has been completely forgotten. It was the dismal capitulation of those games, particularly the Spurs one, which caused so much furore, and I'm afraid the Cardiff one
was really
the end. I think they're very. It's very
I think they're both true.
But it's the way that the
football.
It's, no,
boring,
I was about to
mate.
Say it. No, but yeah, it's the possession football that people call it, but it isn't possession football. It's having no end product.
It doesn't matter what it is, because I know we could talk the semantics of the fact. I know. I get that, and I agree with you on that. But what happens is you see it in the stadium. You see them passing sideways, backwards. Yeah, there's no cutting thrust.
Yeah.
There's
and
no
I
cutting
agree
edge.
With all that, like,
and people, you know, it does your head in.
I know. But having said that, though, if we hadn't hit the woodwork as much, if, for example, in the Wolves game, we'd scored three times as befitted the superiority, he wouldn't have had that problem. And I say Wolves
alone. And
Wolves
that's exactly
alone.
What I mean when I'm saying that he's not been all that bad, you know. We've had a lot of bad fortune with us as well this season, and that's a factor to embrace as well. So I'm not defending him, and I'm seeing
you're being very balanced, Daniel, actually, and I love you for it. Well done.
Well, yeah, that's my point, I guess. And well done,
Daniel.
Hi, guys. And,
great to hear from you. Ring in again.
Monday,
please ring in again.
If I can catch you for a beer, that we will...
Oh, you're here on Monday, are you?
Yeah, I'll be watching the West Ham. I'm travelling with my daughter, though, so I won't be to any pubs. I'll be in the hotel, so...
Give us a shout, Daniel. You know where I'll be.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Take
Cheers.
Care. Bye.
Good stuff, Daniel. Thanks so much.
Lovely to talk to you, Daniel. Calling in all the way from Sweden. If you'd like to get in touch, you don't have to be in Sweden, although we are impressed if you are.
Other countries are available.
Other countries are available. That number is 0208 7020 558. You can also go at Chelsea Fancast or at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. And coming up, it's time to turn our attentions to West Ham.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and we're getting to that time in the show where we like to assess the upcoming opposition, see whether they present anything to be worried about. And coming up on Monday night, it is, of course, West Ham. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Brian Williams, who is a Blowing Bubbles columnist and author of the West Ham bestseller Nearly Reached the Sky. Evening, Brian. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Are you confident of a game against Chelsea?
Well, I'm not terrified.
Fighting talk.
You always raise your game.
We've gone to Stamford Bridge not overly confident, but Chelsea have got their problems. I mean, if we play like we did against Everton the weekend, well, it will be a rugby score. I mean, we were shocking. We were absolutely terrible. One of the worst performances I've seen for ages. But it looks like we'll have Anderson back, who was a big miss for us. Nasri may play. Zabaleta might have a rest, possibly a very long rest in a rest home. And yeah, well, yeah, I'm not quaking in my boots, shall we say.
Mm. Brian, are you going to be coming by boat this year or more conventional mode of transport?
I usually go by tank when I'm going.
Good answer, mate. Good answer. You make an interesting point about West Ham's recent form, because you see, I look at West Ham's players and I think, blimey, there's some really good players in there. That is a good side. And then you go and, you know, like you said, you lose to Cardiff, for God's sake. I mean, you scrape by Huddersfield in a kind of a mental match. You know, is it just a question of you know, West Ham lacking the consistency that they need to really challenge for the top six?
West Ham lack consistency, yeah. Shock.
is it inconsistency? Well, clearly it is. Or is it also complacency, Brian? That's the thing.
Well, I think a lot of fans think that we are on the beach. Yeah. And, we sort of obviously avoided relegation. Some of us who rate Pellegrini reckon it's a master plan not to finish seventh, because we don't want to start the season in the middle of... June,
trust me, mate, he's right. Don't do it. Thursday night, it kills the whole week if you have to go to football on Thursday.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We don't do a lot of European football, but when we do, it doesn't work out terribly well for us in latter years. So, I don't know. It's very odd. I mean, yes, it's... I mean, what Pellegrini said after the Everton game was that basically some of the players on the pitch had kind of lost faith in his style of football.
Wow.
And we are playing. I was listening earlier to sort of the Chelsea fans worried about the sort of style of football that Sarri serves up, and I can see why. We've seen a fair bit of that at the London Stadium over the last couple of years since we've been there. And, for example, the Chelsea game in September, I'm not a big fan of statistics, but Chelsea apparently had 70% of the ball or 72% or something like that. And barely looked like scoring.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
they
had a couple of chances over 90 minutes. We had a couple of equally good chances. I mean, it really is not just about how often you've got the ball, it's what you do with it.
Yeah.
And Pellegrini does like to go forward. And it's great when it works. It can be, it can go terribly, terribly wrong at times if you do get caught short and you get caught square at the back, and some of our defending has been woeful. If Chelsea get at us down the wings, then we look vulnerable. But it's a better style of football. So from a West Ham perspective, we think we're going forward.
Excellent stuff. One thing I've noticed, a couple of things really. I mean, first of all, the Arnautovic saga, which sounds remarkably like we had with Costa when he was agitating to move to China. And the other player that a lot of people are talking about, of course, is Declan Rice. So I think the questions are really, Brian, I mean, how disruptive has the Arnautovic saga been, and how good a player is Declan Rice?
I think Arnautovic is... I'm not sure it was disruptive. I mean, if you want disruptive, Dimitri Payet is a classic case.
Yeah, I'll grant you that one.
I mean, Arnautovic has got a massive sulk on, and he can either cheer up or clear off.
Brian, he is clearing off, isn't he? He effectively wants to go. The fans are booing him. With that in mind, the two names that are being talked about in a big way are Lopez of Celta Vigo and, arguably more excitingly, Andrea Belotti of Torino. Do you see them as realistic targets? And do you think either of them could replace the goals?
Well, it's... I'm going back to the earlier part of the question. I mean, if West Ham are really going to spend some money this summer, then it would be through the sale of Declan Rice, who will attract, serious dosh. Now, it's their big issue. Do you want to see your very best young emerging players go and bring in the money that you then spend? Personally, I'm a bit of an old romantic, and I would like to very much hang on to Declan Rice for as long as possible.
We would be the same, Brian. Absolutely spot on, mate.
Well, Rice is going to be, I think, become one of the best players this country has produced for a very long time. And It's modern football. We at West Ham, we're used to sort of club legends who stay there for all of their careers or most of their careers. You know, the Billy Bonds, the Trevor Brookings, and before that, the Bobby Moores of this world. It's difficult when you see young players come up through the system. Fair play, he did spend his very, very early years at Chelsea. I'll concede that. But, I mean, he's been with us for, kind of all of his early development, and we brought him through into the Premier League. And it will be painful if he does go. Arnautovic, I wouldn't lose a wink of sleep if we can get 30 or 40 million.
In fact, you'd pay for the taxi, wouldn't you, Brian?
I probably would.
Expensive taxi to China, Brian.
Now get him a slow boat, John.
Well, a slow boat, yeah. I could probably just about afford that on the royalties of the book. Taxis cost rather more. Even Uber, I don't think I could afford.
An Uber.
He was damaged goods anyway, Arnautovic, wasn't he? Because he fell out hugely with Hughes at Stoke. It was.
Well, he is. I mean, we've had quite a good record with damaged goods. Of course, I mean, Paolo Di Canio, who is as crazy as a bunch of frogs. In a sack, nobody could touch him. He was fantastic for us. Yeah. You know, we've had a bit of a record of doing good things with crazy people, but I think the love affair with Arnautovic is probably over now. Mm.
So, how's it going to go then? I mean, you sound quite confident because you're not worried about going to Chelsea, and I think actually with good reason. I mean, I'll give you an example actually, Brian. Last year. I'm sure it was last year. It might not have been.
Hernandez scored two goals last year. I mean, we knew he was going to score.
Thank you. I was about to say that.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. We think alike.
Kindly shut up when I'm doing that. No, but I mean, I'm only pulling your leg. The thing is, I was sitting with a mate, and I'd kind of basically, there were a few empty seats for some reason. It seems like coming back to haunt me again. But I kind of moved round at half time, as you do, because I could walk around there. Yeah, well, it's because you're in the posh seats,
oh,
mate.
Yeah, forgot.
But anyway, so I sat with Tony, and we were sitting there like a couple of grumpy old men, and Hernandez came on, and I said, he'll score, and it's exactly what he did. So he worries me, Brian, in terms of us playing you. But frankly, you know, if we turn up and if we play to the potential that we have, I would be confident of us winning. But I know West Ham always turn up against us.
Always raise their game every single time against Chelsea. You can be playing dreadfully around it. You will just bring your game.
My advice to Chelsea would be don't go 3-1 up too soon.
Why not?
Well, that's when we really start playing.
Brilliant.
And it comes back to 3-2.
Yeah, it's a very
good
point.
Against Huddersfield, it went to 4-3.
Yeah, that's true.
That was bonk. I watched that match. It was bonkers, mate.
Is Snodgrass playing better because he was? He's had a sort of checkered career. He's been up and down. I was bemused by his not being as good as I thought he was going to be. He seemed to be a really excellent player when he was younger.
Well, he certainly, if you use that terrible cliche, puts in a shift. I mean, he does get up and down. Quite what he does when he gets the ball. I mean, we've got a few players like that. I mean, Antonio is Antonio's fantastic. You really don't know what you're going to get from him. One of the funniest tweets I saw was after the Cardiff game. I don't know whether you saw the shot he put in, which basically ended up in the top corner of the top stand. And somebody tweeted about an hour later, we're just on the coach on the way home from Cardiff. Antonio's shot has just landed on the roof. So, yeah, we have one or two players you just don't know quite what you're going to get from them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Lanzini's another good player, I think.
He is. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the 10 months out is taking his toll. He's going to be a while to get back. Nasri, in his a few appearances that he's made, looks really impressive. I mean, you know, he is a class footballer. Mm. And he and Anderson link remarkably well, so there might be a little something boiling there.
Anderson's a very good player. I wonder how he sneaked through, because United bought Fred, didn't they? Who's not in Anderson's class. I'm surprised suddenly these Brazilians just seem to appear, and you think, oh, they can't be as good as the others, and they are. He's a terrific player, Anderson.
It took Anderson a while to get into the Prem. I mean, I know they say this very often about players who come from abroad, and He struggled in the early games.
Did he?
And he's got better, and you know, much better. And against Everton, he was a real miss. That was the first game he's not started for us. And we just did not have an out ball. They sometimes say the best game you've ever played is the one you didn't actually play in. And I think that was very much the case against Everton, that his absence was obvious for all to see.
Brian, it's been lovely speaking to you. If I had to put you on the spot for a final score prediction, what would you go for?
Well, I'm old enough to remember the 5-all draw at Stamford Bridge back in the 60s. So,
remember that, Jonathan?
I was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's go for another 5-all.
5-all. Why don't we all go for 5-all? I'm loving that. Let's go for 5-all.
You could all go there on Brian's tank. Brilliant. Wonderful
we
stuff.
Can.
Brian, thanks chatting to us. Brian Williams there, who's a Blowing Bubbles columnist and author of West Ham bestseller Nearly Reached the Sky. While we were chatting to Brian, there was a massive goal in the Premier League. It's Liverpool 1, Southampton 1.
It was.
And Chelsea haven't had any fortune from that in the last couple of weeks. Naby Keita making it 1-1, popping up on the end of a cross.
It's a tragedy, actually, Johnny. The fate of the civilised world hangs in the balance.
A man with an afro got in the way of the linesman.
Yeah. I've heard
It's a tactical afro. You've never heard of that?
Tactical afro. Clever. We've heard the West Ham view. Coming up, let's hear how Chelsea should set up. It is the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Chelsea Fancast. We've heard how West Ham will be approaching the game, but from a Sarri point of view, from a Chelsea point of view, what should the plan be?
No plan B. There isn't a plan B.
There is a plan B, Johnny. Didn't you read the memo?
No, I've been ignoring Maurizio at all costs.
Well, I think he'll have a very different view after the game against Brighton, and he'll pick Pedro, Higuain,
Alonso,
Alonso.
Yeah. Are you excited about
Rudiger?
That? Excited about Alonso coming back?
Yeah. All those players that we missed in the last game.
Definitely.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
And Odoi won't get on. And and Loftus-Cheek will be injured. And he'll bring Kovacic on for Barkley.
Yeah. Back to the good old days.
Yes.
62 minutes, Kovacic on for Barkley. Yeah. Happy
days. It'll be 0-0 up until that time. And then West Ham will score. And then the dark arts will be applied.
Here's a question.
It'll be 1-0.
Here's a question for you. You know, as another brickbat against Signor Sarri, do you think he has singularly underestimated a lot of the Premier League clubs that we've played this year? I mean, we never really talked about that after the Cardiff game, but there was a kind of a hint that he does just underestimate some of these teams. He doesn't realise that, you know, the Premier League is the most competitive league in the world.
Yes.
And anybody can beat anybody, you know, on their day. If you're 95% and the others 100%, they're going to beat you.
I think he looks at the league table.
Yeah.
And thinks they're not very good.
Well, he's wrong.
He's completely wrong.
It's not Spain, mate.
They will try and work something out. That's right. And they'll devise a way of playing against you.
Yeah. The minimum they'll do is stop you from playing, you know. And I mean, that was the interesting thing about Brighton, because once we scored, their only plan had gone to pot, hadn't it?
Yeah,
which is the interesting
thing. But we went up a gear. Their heads went down as well, and we went up a gear.
You know, I've got a couple of interesting stats for you here, Johnny. I mean, one I can't find, but I know I read somewhere that I think West Ham concede a lot of goals from set pieces. So they'll be fine against Chelsea, because we're rubbish at them.
We don't do set pieces.
I mean, if you look back at the Huddersfield game, they conceded two of the worst goals from set pieces that you can possibly conceive of.
But here's the other thing. I worked out who our top scorers are. Right now, West Ham, I'll just pick the first kind of four or five, but Anderson's got 9, Arnautovic has got 8, Hernandez has got 8, Antonio's got 5. Chelsea's top goal scorer is Hazard, 17. Oh, by the way, and 12 assists. Giroud, 11. Pedro, 9. Willian, 8. Loftus-Cheek, 8. And Morata got 8 as well. So this is what I mean. If we turn up and we play to the level that we are capable of, we are better players in a better team, and we should win.
Yep.
But it's all about how we're set up. And I think, you know, I know Sarri beefs on about the mentality a lot, but that's what I'm talking about, the mentality. You've got to be at it. 100% from the minute.
But that's what I was saying about the ball being passed quickly. Yeah. It's not necessarily the ball speedily being passed. It's everybody being up for it. So there's no sitting around and playing the ball back and not being focused, which we've done too often.
Mm.
And allowed other teams to do that against us and been bullied by it. Arsenal is a perfect example that they were completely all over us.
You know, we were joking a minute ago about, you know, Sarri picking Lonzo, Rudiger and Pedro and Willian again, that kind of thing. I think the biggest disappointment for me will be if he plays Higuain, because I think Higuain is just so out of his depth in terms of
particularly the way that Giroud is playing as
well. Giroud is looking good. Now, I can't get my head around this concept that a professional footballer is not able to play, you know, two games in a week.
Was that his theory behind?
Well, that's what he's always saying. That's why he's always rotating the squad, you know. But that's surely nonsense. These guys are fit. Why can't they play twice in a week?
Giroud doesn't seem to spend an enormous
amount of time
running around.
For God's
sake. Thank you, you've come in
oh,
on top of
oh,
me then.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Aren't we sensitive?
Oh.
But I mean, seriously, maybe he's weighed down by his beard. Maybe that's what it is.
It is a lovely beard.
It's a lovely beard.
Of all the things to be weighed down by.
I don't know. I think his haircut is too short.
You think too short?
Yeah. Consequently, he looks a bit like an 1840s anthropologist. That slightly worries me.
I just hit my funny bone and it's not funny.
No.
It made me say something naughty.
You're in pain.
I am, actually. It hurt. But I would be really upset if Higuain starts, to be honest.
He will start, though.
Yeah, I know.
You know he will.
Because Giroud should. He's on good form.
The trouble is he'll then be substituted, and by the time it'll be too late to bring Odoi on. If Odoi is on the bench.
Yeah,
yes, he will
exactly.
be.
Crazy.
I'm pretty sure he'd be on the bench. He couldn't do
I
that.
I heard a very... there are two great Hudson-Odoi chants going on. One of them.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
The ones with like a Buffalo Soldier. But the better one is to the Banana Splits. Oi, 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 Hudson-Odoi.
Oh, clever.
Oi, oi, Hudson-Odoi.
I like that.
See, you've got to have simple ones.
Mm. That other one's too complicated.
Way too long.
Yeah.
Because if a chant is very wordy, it can actually be quite hard to work out what it's saying. If you didn't write it, you hear it in the ground and you think, well, what?
Mind you, that the Williams song manages. So the Fabregas song.
Our mate Walt invented that one.
Yeah, that seems to
the Fabregas one, they were quite wordy. But I mean, I used to like a lot of the wordy songs from the old, I mean, you know, I love the old Tommy Baldwin song. It's still my favourite.
On and on. My favourite from the 50s was... get me onto that in a second. Thanks, Chidge.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
I've stolen your joke.
Yeah, you have, actually, yeah. it was...
Children.
Set them alight. We're the ones to set them alight. Chelsea. Set them alight.
It's a real keeper, that one, isn't it?
Oh, hey. That went on and on, that one.
It's better than Diego.
Yeah. And the other one was when the fullback Sillett, one of the Sillett brothers, would just boot the ball aimlessly down the pitch to no one, and the winger would just belt after it, and a bloke in a flat cap in front of me would shout out, "It's more like it, Chelsea!" And you knew where you were.
Those were the
stuck
days.
In 1950s land.
Blimey, brilliant stuff. That's where my mother-in-law would have been going. You know, she used to go in the 50s, bless her. So there you go. I mean, look, this is a tough match, I think, because West Ham look absolutely horrible on paper. They've lost, as Brian was saying. I mean, they've lost to Cardiff. I mean, mind you, we nearly lost to Cardiff, so I suppose it's not too bad. But they lost to Cardiff, Everton, and, who else? Oh, no, they did beat Huddersfield, didn't they? 4-3. But that means to me that they're going to turn up and play brilliantly on Monday. It's just the thing that West Ham do. It really annoys me.
Well, they are fabulously inconsistent. It was the thing we talked about on the West Ham show before that Everton game. We were calling it the inconsistency derby.
Yeah.
So these two teams where they can turn up and be scintillating or awful. I think Chelsea will get them.
We should be
okay.
But, you know, you do wonder. I mean, the thing is, the trouble at the moment that it's all horribly tantalising. You know, we're what? We're kind of 1 point off. I don't know, because on my notes it's separated. Here we go. Yeah, I mean we're level with Arsenal on 63 points. They've got a game in hand, of course, which they're playing on Sunday. So you know, it's close. We could still get the top four. I think this is the frustrating thing. It's been kind of dangled like a carrot in front of us, and makes you believe that we can do it. You know, but we've got to win all the matches.
Well,
we've so
far got 6 points more than we thought we would, because we thought we were going to lose to Cardiff with only 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And Brighton, we thought, was a banana skin.
Yeah.
So if we beat West Ham on Monday, then that'll be 9 points out of 9.
But
so
then we've got Watford away, Burnley at home. We've got City and Liverpool away.
Oh.
I mean, you see, here's the thing, actually. I've actually got... Oh, I thought that was Southampton scoring again. Got very excited there. But, I mean, I actually think that we'll do a number on Liverpool. You know, I have a real feeling that we will go and poop on their party
again.
Done it before. And I know our players, actually. I think they've got a bit of us in them. They like being a party pooper. They like doing it. They were so delighted that they stopped Tottenham from winning the league the other year.
Denver Bar.
He could bring Denver Bar back just for the run.
I would. I like Denver Bar. Yeah. He's great. And he had a good song, too.
He had a telescopic leg,
didn't he? But I think they'll do a number on Liverpool. I really do. I mean, we're the only side to beat them, I think. at Anfield this year.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll play on their minds a bit. And they were very unlucky, or they were very lucky to draw with us when they played us at Stamford Bridge
with that last minute.
You know, and I don't think they're half as good as people think they are.
Sturridge goal.
You know, I don't know. There's a kind of a weird kind of hold they seem to have on teams at the moment, because I think they're still quite vulnerable at the back, no matter how good Van Dijk is. Anyway, I could rant about how much I loathe Liverpool for hours if you like, but I'm not going to.
There's a chance for Chelsea, of course, as you say, to spoil their party. One party that we have every week on this show is the quiz.
We do!
And people have been successful in their guesses.
Oh, mate, they have been absolutely... they've been astonishing. I mean, they've actually pretty much... I better have a quick check, actually. But the last time I looked, they had answered all of them.
Bar.
No, they got that right.
They got Demba Ba. But
Demba Ba was there.
I did that deliberately, you know.
Yeah, I know you did. Very clever. But, they've got them all right. I shall just have a quick whiz through and tell you who's got them all right and who's been played a blinder tonight. Oh, goodness me, where have they all gone? Jimmy McCormack, or at my current his Twitter handle, but Jimmy McCormack, he'll know who that is. Eddie McCready, 977, also known as Mark, been brilliant. Nigel Bird has been brilliant. He got loads of ones that I didn't expect him to get. Mike Harvey's got my favourite one, or the great Harve. I've known Mike since we've been doing the podcast. He's from the States. He said Frank and a bunch of others. Yep, he's not wrong. Rancho Blue, he got a few right. They've all been superb. Would you like to know who they are?
Was Ron Greenwood one of them?
Nope.
He managed them, though.
Nope.
He played for Chelsea.
He did. He did play for Chelsea.
He did play for Chelsea.
He didn't.
He did play for West Ham.
He managed them. Yeah. All right, very, very quickly, because there are loads of them. Frank Lampard, Joe Cole, Carlton Cole, Scott Parker, Wayne Bridge, Yossi Benayoun, Jimmy Greaves. I always get misty eye when I talk about Jimmy Greaves. Glyn Johnson, Demba Ba, Victor Moses, Tel Banaim, Scott Minto, Ian Pearce. Might have confused people, but didn't.
Craig Fulham as well.
Craig Forrest, I thought might catch people out, but didn't. Pop Robson, quite an easy one. Joe Payne, I thought would be difficult. Nope, they got that. Joe Kirkup, again, same. Ron Tindall, David Speedy, Demba Ba, John Harley, Clive Allen, Alan Dickens. Yeah, they all got that. John Sissons, they all got. They all got Len Goulden.
Oh, wow.
They even got Eric Rabbit Parsons.
Oh, did he play for them as well?
He did. And they got George Gatling Gunn Hilsdon.
Oh, wow.
All right. Peter Braybrook, which I think everybody knew that.
Yeah.
Rob Green, Kevin Hitchcock, Harry Medhurst, the great Harry Medhurst, Frank Nuble, Jerry Payton, another keeper. There's about four or five keepers in here. John Terry, youth player. Yeah. David Webb, they didn't get, though. Or Anthony Barnes.
Well, good ones.
But they did get Declan Rice, which I forgot, but I knew anyway.
He was on the books, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was
a kid.
On the books. So they've done brilliantly. You've all done very, very well.
You've done very,
but no Anthony Barnes or David Webb.
No.
You should, you know,
he almost for Charlton, perfect. Barnes. He came from Charlton.
Barnes,
you know,
and Webby they didn't get, but yeah, everybody else they did. Yeah. So well done for playing.
Well done for playing indeed. And it's that point in the show where it's our own game. I put you on the spot. I need a score prediction, gents.
We're going to get away with that this week.
3-1.
Yeah, I'm going 3-1.
3-1 Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm tempted to go 5-0. In the spirit of Brian, actually, earlier on. I love that.
Brian and his tank. Yeah. Well, we're going 3-1.
Yeah, I'm 3-1.
We're 3-1. Confident, yeah. And we'll see you next week.
We will.
On the Chelsea
Look
Fan
forward
Show.
To it, mate.
Well done.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.